Get to Old Navy for star-spangled style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, it's Happily Ever After, the show that explores the fairy tales that we fell in love with once upon a time. I'm Tasha Fusil, and usually on this program, we focus on fairy tales. But this evening, we're going to take a break of sorts. And what we're going to do instead is study the stunning melodies that have emerged from the Disney fairy tale canon. Now, we can't cover it all. But my quest tonight is to play as many Disney tunes in this hour as I possibly can, in addition to giving a bit of musical analysis, which I'm definitely not equipped to do myself. But fortunately, I found just the right person to help me along.
Hi, I'm Dean Olivitz. Thanks for having me on your program. I am a music theory guy, but I'm also considering myself a music statistician. I take macro data from large sets of songs and I try to find trends within those data sets. And what I've recently done over the past couple of years is collect a bunch of Disney songs and found some trends with that. And I think that's what we're going to be talking about today.
There's a lot to get through. So to kick things off, we've got When You Wish Upon a Star, which was originally written for the 1940 film Pinocchio. And it's since become that melody that you hear at the beginning of every Disney film when the logo appears, and it also plays all the time at the Disney theme parks. Suffice to say, it's the most iconic Disney song there is.
If you have to pick one Disney song, that's the Disney song. It's that first motif, you know. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Very sweeping, and then they take that motif and then they raise it a little bit, and then they raise it again, you know, da 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 da. That's something that our brains really kind of latch onto. Once it's repeated, our brains go, oh, that's familiar. And it's like, you know, music and art too, it can have motifs, things that your brain recognizes, which are just pleasing to the brain. So that's what a motif is, a repeated pattern, really.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do.
Wish Upon a Star from the 1940 film Pinocchio. And that was the original version sung by Cliff Edwards, who was the voice of Jiminy Cricket. And I mean, it's such a timeless song. Your ears are instantly feeling that connection to a sound that is so familiar and so pleasant. And I think a great one to sort of start the show. Dean talked about motifs earlier, and motifs are something that's also used in a big way when it comes to what they call the setup songs, which are the songs that you hear in the very start of a film. And it's through these songs that you're instantly transported into the story. An obvious one is Arabian Nights from Aladdin, where they use a whole lot of Arabian motifs to get you kind of geographically geared for the story.
I'm going to use another musical term here. It's called a harmonic tetrad. It's kind of that na 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 na.
Oh, I come from a land, from a faraway place, where the caravan camels roam.
But it's kind of an exotic, to Western ears anyway. In the West, we, you know, we're used to do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do scales. But the Arabian scale, they often use this kind of collection of notes that's a little foreign to our ears. So when we hear it, it's like, ooh, this must be in some other place.
To another Arabian night, Arabian night, like Arabian day. More often than not, are hotter than hot in a lot of good ways. Arabian nights with Arabian moons. A fool off his guard could fall and fall hard out there on the dune.
And then, like, under the sea, the motifs used in there, they're very watery, aren't they?
Ariel, listen to me. The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there.
Alan Menken, I think, when he was researching, you know, how to write music for a watery story, he just went out there and he tried to find other songs that had water as their subject and just even tried to think about, well, what do waves remind me of? And he came up with motifs, patterns, that reminded him of the sea. They used calypso. If you're thinking about, well, what music comes from the sea, you're going to start thinking of island type music, because islands are surrounded by the sea. So that's another strategy that they used to set up the tone for the film.
Yeah, under the sea, under the sea, wind is a demon, music to me. What do they got? A lot of sand. We got a
That was Under the Sea from Little Mermaid, and like Dean mentioned, it was composed by Alan Menken, a musical composer who wasn't just a master at creating these sonic works of art. You know, he was also great at doing it in a way that really pushed the story along.
It goes back to this concept of serving the story. I think Alan Menken definitely has his own style, but one of the reasons they keep calling him back and calling him back to write all these different scores is because he doesn't let his he doesn't put his own preferences first. Like, say, Phil Collins or Sting, they have their style. They have a signature sound, and so you really wouldn't want them to do three different movies, because the tonal palettes and the ideas they would bring would be too much Sting or too much Phil Collins. Alan Menken, on the other hand, is such a chameleon. He's so good at what they call pastiche. That's another fancy word for you, pastiche, where you are able to write in all these different styles. One of the reasons he was so successful in Mermaid is because he could write in calypso. He could write the villain song in kind of a German nightclub sound. He uses the tools, his musical tools, to serve the story first.
Right, and I suppose that becomes such an important part, because you can't sort of have the music take up too much of the film time itself. It really needs to serve the story in the best way possible, in the most efficient way possible.
Yes, that's another very good point. The difference between pop songs and Disney songs is they do end up having to be a little bit shorter. Reflection comes to mind from Mulan. That song is only a verse and a chorus and an outro.
Look at me, I will never pass for a perfect bride or a perfect daughter.
But then one way that they kind of a consolation prize for these short songs is the end credit song. So for that song, the Christina Aguilera version is a full song, and it's more like your longer pop tune, which has the full form and stuff. If it's not serving the story, it gets cut, no matter how good it is.
Staring straight.
more of this when we come back. It's Happily Ever After on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it. All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
Business, finance, and music. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Happily Ever After, the show where we revisit the fairy tales that we grew up with. I'm Tasha, and tonight we are flash listening to some of the best music to come out from the Disney fairy tale kingdom. And I'm doing that with Dean Olivet, a music statistician who has studied the patterns of over 70 songs from Disney. Now, we started off looking at the songs that you would hear at the beginning of the film, the setup songs, which are fun and full of energy. But I'd say that some of the catchier songs, the ones that really get stuck in your ears for days, are the ones that the hero of the story gets to sing. And I think everyone has their favorites. There's so many to choose from, but I'm going to go with a classic. It's from Little Mermaid, when Ariel sings Part of Your World.
I don't see how a world that makes such wonderful things could be bad.
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete?
So what people traditionally call this category, the hero song, or the quote-unquote, the I want song. So after you set up the world and show, quick as possible, you need to get the hero to want something, because if the hero doesn't have a problem, you're not going to have a very good story.
I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. I've got who's-its and what's-its galore. You want thingamabobs? I got 20. But who cares? No big deal. I want more.
So that's a snippet of Little Mermaid's Part of Your World, which was one of the first to make that I want song such a staple in a Disney fairy tale. And another thing that made it kind of cool was that it's the first fairy tale where the I want song was about wanting a little bit more than just the prince. Because in the beginning, in the earlier years with Snow White and Sleeping Beauty, the I want song was usually about the guy.
I'm wishing for the one.
Not to diminish sort of the value, they were still great songs, weren't they?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, we have to perpetuate the species, of course. But yeah.
What if I know you? I know what you'll do. You love me at once, the way you did once upon a dream.
Very encouraging as of late to see the topics kind of branching out into different I want, you know, I want adventure, or I want something other than my prince to come.
I've been staring at the edge of the water long as I can remember, never really knowing why. I wish I could be the perfect daughter, but I come back to the water, no matter how hard I try.
Every turn I take, every trail I track, every path I make, every road leads back to the place I know, where I cannot go, where I long to be. See the line where the sky meets the sea, it calls me, and no one knows. How far I'll go, I know. Everybody on this island seems so happy on this island. Everything is by design. I know everybody on this island has a role on this island, so maybe I can roll with mine. I can lead with pride, I can make us strong. I'll be satisfied if I play along, but the
So that was How Far I'll Go from Moana, which came out last year in 2016. It's such a gorgeous, uplifting song that was composed by none other than Lin-Manuel Miranda. And in this post-Alan Menken era, I would imagine that coming up with something that matches up to that insane Disney legacy that he left behind would be a pretty impossible task. But Lin-Manuel and Robert Lopez, who composed the music for Frozen, they did such a phenomenal job with both Frozen and Moana, respectively.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, actually, not that much. I wouldn't say that much has changed. Bobby Lopez and Lin-Manuel Miranda, I mean, they are exceptional students of what's come before, and they are able to wield all the tools that have come before them just expertly. And when it comes to adding, you know, more complex chords, key changes, tweaking the form, they're just masters. You know, when it comes to all these different elements, they definitely add in everything and then some. Like, if I can just rap about Let It Go for a while.
Go for it.
There's just so many interesting things. There's a lot of different reasons that Let It Go is stuck in the ear of, now, I mean, I have a daughter and she's singing it all the time, and I think just across the world everybody's singing the song for many reasons. But a couple of those reasons would be he plays with the two talent tonalities of major and minor. Like that intro, which is like that last note in the first musical sentence, it's minor. But then he repeats it, and our ear is like, oh, I remember this. But then at the last note, the second time, it's raised. And it's just kind of like, ooh, it's a little tweak. It just excites, it teases our ear, it's fun.
Kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside.
It has both a chorus and a refrain, which I find to be a really cool innovation. Because most of the time, songs have what we call a chorus or a refrain. A chorus is a repeated kind of paragraph of song. And then a refrain is like a chorus, but it's usually only one sentence rather than a paragraph. Well, Let It Go has the chorus.
Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say.
And they've got that little refrain, the cold never bothered me anyway.
Cold never bothered me anyway.
So it's just kind of fun to have both of those hooks that hook our ear and that are very memorable.
And the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break the loop. No right, no wrong, no. for me.
Bridge, he does that again, kind of when she's building the castle. You know, it's like minor then major. Listen for that kind of third note in there. Another thing I love about that section is they take that same musical sentence motif and they double speed it. That's really fun.
Wow, so there, you know that the song is catchy, but you're explaining how there are just all these little tiny little tweaks that they make, and there are probably lots of little ones that they're doing, and it's crazy.
Yep. You set up your expectations, and then you tweak them. That is, I think that's kind of a maxim thing to do for all of art. Again, our human brains, we love recognizing patterns, and we love kind of being in on the joke. You know, we love knowing something, and then when it's changed, we like to know that it's changed.
And so those are just a couple of things that might explain why Let It Go from Frozen was the song that you just could not escape back in 2013, 2014, no matter how hard you tried. We've got more Disney tunes coming up, so don't go anywhere. It's Happily Ever After here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Cold never bothered me anyway.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
My dear, sweet child, that's what I do. It's what I live for, to help unfortunate merfolk like yourself. Poor souls with no one else to turn to. I admit that in the past I've been a nasty. They weren't kidding when they called me, well, a witch.
Hello, it's Happily Ever After here on the Evening Edition, and tonight we're going through the musical magic that's come out from the Disney Fairytale Kingdom over the past 7 decades. I'm doing that with Dean Olivet, who has studied and analyzed a whole bunch of Disney songs. As you can tell by what's playing, we're now venturing into darker territory, or as dark as Disney can get anyway, with the fabulous and fun villain songs.
Poor unfortunate souls in pain, in need. This one longing to be thinner, that one wants to get the girl, and do I help them? Yes, indeed.
A lot of the villain songs kind of have this kind of like underground kind of nightclub feel to it. They remind you of music played throughout the history of songs and movies or musicals or whatever, and they're going to kind of draw on your past experience of seeing these movies and musicals, and they're going to sound similar to all these other songs. And songs in minor, in Shiny in particular, they use what are called blue notes. There's a jazz label, it's called Blue Note Records, but in jazz there are these notes called blue notes, where you take notes that are in the scale and you kind of bend them down a little bit. So like when he sings the opening Shiny, you can hear this note that he sings that's just a little bit bent.
Well, Tamator hasn't always been this glam. I was a drab little crab once.
And it kind of feels a little flurry. You're kind of slipping and sliding and stuff, which also kind of conjures images of deviousness, you know, like, oh, you can't even stay on your notes, you know. You must be a slippery person if your music is slippery like this. Oh.
Your granny lied. I'd rather be shiny like a treasure from a sunken pirate wreck. Scrub the deck and make it look shiny. I will sparkle like a wealthy woman's neck. Just a sec, don't you know? Fish are dumb, dumb, dumb. They chase anything that glitters. Beginners.
Oh. So those are some conventions. The minor, the slurriness, and the kind of seedy underbelly nightclub conventions all can help tell the story of the villain.
Is that present in Gaston?
Well, Gaston's song is actually... that's a little bit of a break, because that's one of the songs in the Disney villain canon that's not in minor.
Gosh, it disturbs me to see you, Gaston, looking so down in the dumps.
But, you know, Gaston's a funny villain, because Beauty and the Beast was one of the first movies to kind of flip that whole thing on its head because of the fairy tale, where Gaston kind of, you know, he's tall, dark, and handsome. He should have been the prince, if you're going along the conventional line, and the Beast should have been the villain. So that's, you know, that's probably why they did do his villain song in major.
No one slick as Gaston, no one's quick as Gaston, no one's neck's as incredibly thick as Gaston, for there's no man in town if it's manly.
Because you still kind of expect him to be kind of more princely, and then when he turns out to really, you know, at first he's just kind of doofy, but then at the end he's a real villain. So putting his villain song in major can maybe kind of make a second guess for a while the Beast starts out more as a mean, gruffy villain, you know, and then he's changes into the good guy at the end.
When I hunt, I sneak up with my quiver. Ooh. And beasts of the field say a prayer. First I carefully aim for the liver. Then I shoot from behind.
Is that fair?
I don't care.
And to add on to that, it's also Josh Gad, the actor who plays Le Fou in the New Beauty and the Beast, who does a lot of the singing in Gaston, which I guess makes that particular track somewhat of a hybrid. You know, it's a cross between a villain song and a sidekick song, which is kind of perfect because it brings us to another Disney tune that Josh Gad sang, where he plays one of the cutest sidekicks of all.
The sidekicks, the cuties.
The cuties.
Also very, yeah, you can't have a Disney movie without the cutie.
Yeah.
Or the sidekick, that's for sure.
And my favorite, I think my favorite cutie pie song is In Summer, the Olaf song from Frozen.
Yeah, that's probably one of my favorites too.
Oh, I don't know why, but I've always loved the idea of summer and sun and all things hot.
Really? I'm guessing you don't have much experience with heat.
Nope.
His blissful ignorance is just so lovable and so adorable. You just can't take it.
Yeah, you can't take it. He doesn't know what summer is. Probably one of the broadest strokes of genius I've ever seen.
Right?
Up, down, yin-yang kind of motif there. Snowman who wants to know what summer's like.
I drink in my hand, my snow up against the burning sand, probably getting gorgeously tanned in summer.
But yeah, musically, the sidekick songs, they'll just be more fun. One of the conventions that they draw on for this one is swing, a musical term where you take the rhythm, and instead of having a straight rhythm where it's like, you know, where all the beats are equal in length, you've got one note that's longer than the next. You've got da 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 long, short, long, short, long.
Winter's a good time to stay in and cuddle, but put me in summer and I'll be a happy snowman.
And it just kind of conjures images of just more happy-go-lucky.
Like you're skipping.
Yeah, skipping, yeah. It's like when you're walking, it's just like left, right. But yeah, when you skip, it's that same thing. You're kind of going long, short. So yeah, that's very common in these kind of, let's just take a break from the story and have some fun with the sidekick song.
Is Hi-Ho a sidekick song?
Hi-Ho, yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, I mean, in Snow White, you get 7 sidekicks. So, so yeah, it's definitely a sidekick song. It's very similar in that it has that kind of skipping, kind of happy-go-lucky feel to it.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's home from work we go. Hi-ho, 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 it's home from work we go.
The mice and Cinderella, you know, do-do-do-do, hurry, hurry, da-da-da, the Cinderella, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Cinderella, make the fire, fix the breakfast, wash the dishes, do the mopping, and the sweeping, and the ducking.
It's got that same kind of happy-go-lucky, swung kind of feel to it, doesn't it? I guess you could think of Be Our Guest as being a sidekick song, because Lumiere sings it.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Be our guest, be our guest, put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, sherry, and we provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvre, why, we only live to serve. try the gray stuff. It's delicious. Don't believe me? Ask the dishes. They can sing, they can dance. After all, miss, this is France. And a dinner here is never second best. Go on, unfold your menu, take a glance, and then you'll be our guest. We our guest, be our guest.
Friend Like Me has got to be one of the best, most loved psychic songs, because the genie, I mean, Robin Williams just tears that song up, man. That's and that song swung too. Da, 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 da.
Master, I don't think you quite realize what you've got here. So why don't you just ruminate whilst I illuminate the possibilities? Well, Alibaba had them 40 thieves. Sherazade had 1,000 tails. But Master, you in luck, cause up your sleeves, you got a brand of magic never fails. You got some power in your corner now. Some heavy ammunition in your camp. You got some punch, pizzazz! Your blue and house, all you gotta do is rub that lamp. And I'll say,
Mr. Aladdin, sir, what will your pleasure be?
Let me take your order, jot it down. You ain't never had a friend like me.
We can't be discussing Disney music without talking about the love songs. So that's coming up. It's Happily Ever After on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
You're the boss, the king, the shah. Say what you wish, it's yours, true dish. About a little more baklava. Have some of column A, try all of column B. I'm in the mood to help you, dude. You ain't never had a friend like me. Mama.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
You're back on Happily Ever After here on the Evening Edition. I'm Tasha Fusil, and along with Dean Olivet, we've been going on a bit of a journey through some of the most memorable melodies to accompany Disney's fairy tale films. And, you know, this magic carpet ride wouldn't be complete unless we let ourselves be swept away, if only for a minute, by some really epic love ballads.
I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide? I can open your eyes, take you wonder by wonder, over, sideways, and under, on a magic carpet ride. A whole new world, a new fantastic point of view. No one to tell us no, or where to go, or say we're only dreaming.
A whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew. But now from where
that, of course, was A Whole New World from Aladdin. I've got another oldie but goodie, which technically didn't come from a fairy tale, but for this particular category of songs, I'm only interested in the crowd pleasers, and this is definitely one of those. Here's Can You Feel the Love Tonight from Lion King.
I can see what's happening.
What?
And they don't have a clue.
Who?
They'll fall in love, and here's the bottom line. Our trio's down to two.
Oh.
The sweet caress of twilight. There's magic everywhere. And with all this romantic atmosphere, disaster's in the air.
To tell her, but how to make her see the truth about my past, impossible. She'd turn away from me.
He's holding back, he's hiding,
But what I can't decide, why won't he be the king I know he is, the king I see inside?
Can you feel the love tonight? Hey! The peace the evening brings. The world for once in power.
Whether or not you're a Disney fan or whether or not you're into these grand, sweeping love songs, it's kind of hard to deny that there's something just a little bit magical about some of these ballads. And you know, magic is sometimes just a little bit hard to explain.
There's a lot of it's just luck, it's knack, it's something you're born with. You're able to, again, let's go back to this word, motif. You're really good at finding these little gold nuggets of melody, of line, that stick in your ear because they're established and they're repeated and they're modified. And that's really the main technique that composers use. And you can do that both rhythmically, harmonically, and melodically. Those are the three main elements when you're writing a song. You have to think about the rhythm, the harmony, which is the chords when you play like more than one note, and then the melody, which is kind of the notes that your ears follow, mainly, and that you attach to the lyrics.
And if I were to play out a song to end this, a song that you think encapsulates all those three elements, which Disney love song would you give that award to, I suppose?
Oh, man, that's tough. There are so many. I won't say what the best Disney love song is, but in terms of an outro, oh, man, I got to go with Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast.
If you're
talking about, it's definitely not the shiniest gold nugget, but one of them.
Tale as old as time, true as it can be. Barely even friends, then somebody bends unexpectedly. Just a little change, small to say the least, both a little scared, neither one prepared. Beauty and the Beast.
My thanks to Dean Olivet, who was such a sport for going through these songs with me, helping to break down some of the technical elements. If you're a music buff and you want to see him get really down and dirty with the music theory for these Disney songs, you can head to www.tonaltrends.com. And if you know someone who might enjoy a bit of a nostalgic look back at their favorite Disney music, go ahead and share this podcast with them. You can find it on our website at www.bfm.my under Happily Ever After. I'm Tasha Fasil, and this is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bittersweet and strange, finding you can change, learning you were wrong. Certain as the sun, rising in the east. Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, Beauty and the Beast. Shh. Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, Beauty and the Beast.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or black forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.